Welcome to the broadcast of Exceedingly Abundant Ministries in cooperation with Bethel Worship Center of Joplin, Missouri. Their goal is to win the lost, disciple Christians, set the captives free, and see the sick made whole. Bethel Worship Center is located at 3125 West 20th Street in Joplin. Weekly service times are Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and a Wednesday evening Bible study at 6:30 p.m. For more information, visit their website at betheljoplin.org. Now, here is Pastor Gary Culp with today's message.
Well, good afternoon. The Lord bless you. What do we know for sure? God is good all the time, all the time. God is good. Let's pray for souls. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, we want everyone to go to heaven. So we're at least going to pray for every boy and girl, man and woman in Missouri, Kansas, Oklahoma, and Arkansas. We're praying also for their past, present, future spouses, all the children they have now in the future and their family members, all grandchildren they have now in the future and their family members, all great-grandchildren they have now in the future and their family members, by faith. We're sending the Holy Spirit to convict every person of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Lord Jesus Christ, reveal yourself to each person, your incarnation, your perfect life, the great miracles you did, your death, burial, and resurrection, your precious atoning blood, the revelation and understanding by your stripes we were healed would come to every boy and girl, man and woman. And Father, they had humbled themselves before you, repent of their sins, receive Jesus as Savior and Lord, being gloriously born again from above. And then, Father, you'd get every person to a good Bible-believing teaching church. They'd then be baptized in water. Every Christian will receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. We are praying for every demon-possessed, demonizing, captive person to be set free, and yes, all the sick to be healed from every sickness and disease. And yes, Lord Jesus, your people to receive and walk in financial abundance, prosperity, debt cancellation of their debts, the full blessing of Abraham, whom God blessed in all things. And we agree for that right now, and thank you for it. But also, Father, we love the nation Israel and Jewish people. We have such a great debt of gratitude for them. Their greatest need is salvation. Lord Jesus, please remove the blinders and scales off their hearts and minds. May they truly see, Lord Jesus, you are their Messiah, your Savior and Lord, and they'd repent and get gloriously born again from above. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem according to your word. We agree, Father, with you, they have title deed to all the land of Canaan. Restore all that land to them. And Father God, if anyone tries to harm the nation Israel, Jewish people, you would stop them. And if they persist, Father, you would destroy them. And we agree for that in Jesus' name. But also, Father God, we pray and we are so thankful. We can't praise you enough that you, Father, have moved mightily and moved upon the hearts of your people to vote. And now Donald Trump and J.D. Vance are our present vice president. We're lifting them up in prayer, including their past, present, future cabinet picks and their families. Again, salvation for each and every one of them, born again from above, Holy Spirit baptized and filled. We pray, Father God, your hedge of protection about them, an angelic protection, Father. Don't let anyone harm them. And they may they truly operate and do things according to the Word of God and according to our Constitution. You would bless them, and they would have great boldness. And, Father, they would destroy every evil, nasty, vile work of the Biden administration and the Obama administration. They would all be torn apart and torn to pieces, Father, and righteousness, holiness, and truth will be restored to America, and millions will be saved. We agree for that right now. Also, Father, please protect our power grid. We know there have been threats against our electricity, gas, oil, and coal. We pray for our water tables, including the water in our wells and city water. We're praying for our food, our farms, our farmers, our food production plants. Don't let anybody harm, poison, diminish in any way these resources. In fact, Father, we decree in 2025 we're going to be energy independent again and blessed and walking, Father, in your works and your ways. And we thank you for that right now. And also, Father, we pray against any centralized digital currency, which is what leads to the mark of the beast. We pray against that, Father. We declare that dollar bills and cash will be strong until after the rapture of the church. And we agree for that right now. And Father God, we pray against that you would completely destroy, annihilate the bird flu virus, the monkeypox virus, every virus that they're creating in those bio labs. You would destroy the viruses. Father, you would burn down and destroy the bio labs. You would burn down and destroy every vaccination that's being created to harm, maim, and kill people. We agree for that, and we thank you for it now. In Jesus' name, amen. All righty then. Jesus is coming soon. Remember the word the Lord gave my wife, there are still some bumps in the road ahead. Do you understand that? There's going to be some shaking going on. Even though righteousness is coming back to America, the devil still has got great strongholds in America and in the church, and they have to be torn apart. And you know, it's sad to say the thing probably that God will use to bring great revival will be some of the bumps in the road that come that cause people to get desperate. Isn't that sad? Why can't we just pray and cry out to God and receive revival? Let's try that, okay? Let's agree for the end time fire revival to come forth and millions of souls to get saved before the rapture takes place. Okay, now we're going to talk about basically spiritual warfare. We're going to begin by looking in Matthew chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. This is the one scripture the Lord used to confirm in my heart and spirit that deliverance and healing were for today. And it's part of the children's bread. It is God's will. And he delights to save, heal, and deliver and prosper his people. That sounds like God, doesn't it? Okay. Well, let's read Matthew 8, begin verse 14. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her. In other words, the fever wasn't even acceptable to Jesus. That had to go. And he touched her, and it left. She arose and ministered unto him. When the evening was come, they brought him to him many that were possessed with demons. Now, since we're talking about spiritual warfare, I need to tell you, the word possessed in the Greek is the word daimonenzomai, which, yes, it means possessed, but it also means to be under the influence or attack of a demon. Christians cannot be possessed. They're possessed by Jesus. The Holy Spirit is in their spirit, man. But they can be demonized, not in their spirit, but in their soul, their mind, will, emotion, and their body. And I know that absolutely for truth concerning myself and many, many others. But again, it just showed God's word is true. Okay. Many that were possessed with demons. So he's talking about Christians here too. And he cast out the spirits with his word. So Jesus said it wasn't acceptable to him and healed all that were sick. I love the word all, don't you? Again, why did he do it? Verse 17. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. You can look that up in your Bible, Isaiah 53:4, saying he himself, that means Jesus Christ, took our infirmities, let's expand that, personal weaknesses and distresses, and he bore our sicknesses. That includes pains and diseases. And if you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he went everywhere he went, casting out demons and healing the sick. So you don't have to wonder if this is the right interpretation or not. Look at the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Okay. Now we're going to talk about how the enemy, what is his activities? How could I identify if Satan's messing with me? Well, first of all, we really do need to distinguish between the flesh and demons. The flesh is the carcass. That's our old Adamic nature. Every one of us have an old Adamic nature, okay? Then there's the demons. Those are the vultures that try to settle on that carcass, okay? Now, if the problems you're having are just your flesh rising up, and we all experience that, all we have to do is what God told us. Let's read it in Romans 6, 11 through 13. Likewise, reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey it in its lust. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves to God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So we reckon ourselves to be dead indeed to sin and alive to God through Jesus Christ our Lord, and say no to sin and yes to God. Okay? But then there's the devil's kingdom. They are trying to mess with us. Now, again, they tried to mess with Jesus, the 12, the 70, with Paul, Peter. I mean, understand, well, I don't know why the devil's messing with me. He messes with ever Christians, and we'll try to prove that here in just a minute. But if you're dealing with nothing but the flesh, you just have to reckon yourself dead to sin, alive to God, and say no. But sometimes the devil's involved in what's happening. And often I believe he is. Well, there's two things the Bible says we're to do when the devil messes with us. We're kind of getting a little basis here. And here's something every Christian has to do, according to the Word of God anyway. James 4, 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Number one, resist the devil and he will flee from you. So God wants you to open your mouth and say, Father, I'm submitting myself to you in this situation, and now I'm resisting the devil. Get the hint, Satan, in Jesus' name. Now, not only does James tell us, but again, if it's in the Word of God, the Holy Spirit's talking. 1 Peter 5, 8, 9. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, you know he's talking to Christians. Well, how do you know for sure? Because all you have to do is read verse 9. Whom resist? There's that word resist again. How? Steadfast in the faith. Well, if you're in that faith, that means you're a born-again Christian. So the devil is trying to mess with Christians, and you know that if you've been saved very long. But the thing every Christian has to do is resist the devil when he's putting those temptations, and we'll look at the different things he does in just a minute. You have to resist him. You submit first to God, you resist the devil. But let me go ahead and finish the verse. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions, did you hear this, are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Oh, so he messes with all Christians. And I've been preaching since 1983, and be sure he messes with all Christians. Do you get the picture? Okay. So that's something every Christian has to do, because the devil hates your guts. He's still trying to take you out. I love what Derek Prince says. Satan has two assignments over every person's life. Number one assignment, to keep you from being saved or getting born again. Well, he blew that. I'm saved, I'm born again. Praise the Lord. His second assignment, to keep you from serving Christ effectively. And you know, as a whole, I don't know anyone who serves Christ effectively that doesn't understand how real the devil is, trying to mess with him, hinder him, put roadblocks, with people, circumstances, you name it. Okay. But sometimes the devil, because of giving in to sin, he gets a legal right in your life and you become demonized. He has a place in you. And I'll prove that with the Bible in a minute. When he has a place in you, then you don't just resist him, you have to cast him out. And again, that's why it makes perfect sense in the Great Commission. We've looked at it often in Mark 16, starting verse 17. And these signs shall follow those who believe. That means everyone who's born again. In my name, they shall cast out demons. Notice that's your first assignment. They shall speak with new tongues, which you receive once you receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. They shall take up serpents, snakes, anything that's trying to harm you. If you drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. You better be praying that. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So, we see we're supposed to deal with the devil and be effective in taking him down or resisting him or casting him out. You either have to resist him, or in circumstances he has to be expelled or cast out. Okay. Now let's get back to what I'm trying to help you see. How do I know when the devil's messing with me? I want to give you some words. These are words that describe the activity of demons. And the first one is very, very, you understand it, entice. Satan tempts you to do evil. Okay, remember when Jesus, right before he started his great ministry, he was led into the desert and the devil tempted him. In fact, notice what Matthew 4:3 says. And when the tempter, that's the devil, that's not God, came to him, Jesus, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And he answered and said, it is written. You see, the Bible is totally true. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And that is your Bible, the Word of God. So the tempter is Satan. Well, why do I seem to have such a tough time? Well, that probably would help you if I described that just for a minute. Every Christian gets tempted, no exceptions. And if you're honest, you understand that. But let's understand this truth too. James 1:13. Let no man say when he is tempted, and that means being solicited to do evil, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Okay, so God is never messing with you, trying to get you to do evil. That is never God. Verse 14, but every man is tempted, and that means man, woman, boy, or girl, when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Okay, sad to say, in all of us, no exceptions. You have that old Adamic nature, which means within every person is wicked, perverted lust and desires. No exception. Part of the old Adamic nature. Okay. And Satan is appealing to that. Even though you're saved and born again, you have the Holy Spirit in your spirit man, he's still attempting to your old nature to do those old things you repented of, or even try to get you to do some new bad things. That's the devil. But again, that's why it can be very appealing to your old man. So if you're walking in your flesh, those things can seem pretty hard to deal with, and that's why you need to walk in the Spirit. But let me finish the verse. And when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed, then when lust hath conceived, in other words, you entertain it, give into it, it bringeth forth sin, and sin it bringeth forth death. Okay. So, we all get tempted. We have an old Adamic nature. Satan, even after we're saved, is appealing to that old Adamic nature, trying to draw up old habits and old ways of doing things. And I'm sure you understand that. But again, here's the verb, entice. He tempts you to do evil, and often it's in a verbal form. Now, sometimes until you have any understanding of spiritual warfare and the devil, he'll tempt you through what you would call your own voice. You think it's your thoughts. You think you're thinking this. And yet it's the devil putting that enticing thoughts in your mind. You know, I used to think, well, how can I think such dirty, wicked thoughts? What's wrong with me? Well, it wasn't anything wrong with me. It was the devil who was enticing and tempting me. And I just had to learn to say, no, devil, I'm bringing those thoughts captive to be in Jesus Christ. Get out of here. And if you do that and persist, he leaves and the thoughts stop. But even in 2 Corinthians 10, God tells us we have to bring every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. So enticed. Number two, he harasses you. He studies you. You know, just like you got God's holy angels watching over you, thank you, Jesus, you also got demons somewhere in the background. They're studying you, looking for your weak moments, looking to accuse you. The devil has a 1-2 punch. Number one, he tempts you to do evil. Number two, he calls you a dirty dog when you give in to the temptation. You can't be a Christian. You wouldn't do that. God doesn't love you anymore. That's the devil. He tempts you. And then you do the wrong thing. He harasses you. You dirty dog. You can't be a Christian. That's the devil. You thought that was you, didn't you? Okay. He entices. He harasses. He torments. Oh, surely he couldn't torment a Christian. Oh, he has. I've experienced it. What allows him to torment? Well, one of the greatest ways is unforgiveness. Now, because for time's sake, you're going to have to read Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 through 35. Peter asked him, how often shall my brother sin against me and forgive him? Seven times? No, Jesus says seven times 70. And then he gives a story about a man that owed a great debt. His Lord forgave him, but then he went out and found someone else that owed him a debt and wouldn't forgive him, but cast him in the dill. Now, Jesus tells this story, and we realize it has nothing to do with money, but then it comes down to verse 34, and Jesus is giving us the point of this story. And his Lord was angry and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. Now, here's what Jesus says. So likewise shall my heavenly Father, did you get this? Heavenly Father, do also unto you, put your name in the blank, if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. Okay. Jesus makes it quite clear. He is willing. He does forgive all our sins. He forgives all sins. And when we sin as a Christian, we're supposed to confess those sins and repent. Get them under the blood of Jesus. We are to confess and repent as Christians. And Jesus says, yep, I will forgive you. I do forgive you. But Jesus says this also, since I've forgiven you everything, I expect you to forgive everyone who sins against you, no matter what it is. Because Jesus said in verse 35, you'll be given over to the tormentors. Do you understand that? In fact, this is such a big deal. If you ever pray the Lord's Prayer, and I'm sure many of you do, do you remember what you prayed when you prayed that Lord's Prayer over in Matthew chapter 6? Let's look at that just for a minute. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts or trespasses as we forgive our debtors. Oh, did you see that? And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. But you shouldn't stop there. Jesus speaking, verse 14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Do you get the picture? Forgiveness is not an option. God commands you. God demands that you, as a Christian, forgive from the heart anyone who sins against you, and then you release him to God, and if there's any vengeance, God gets the vengeance. Just a real quick story. Years ago, I worked at a certain place, and I hated the manager, the guy ahead of me. I hated his guts. And he got where I was just angry at my job all the time. Then I began to come home and be angry all the time. And then even worse, I got where I was just an angry person, and I was a Christian. And I think, God, what's wrong with me? I am making myself, this is awful. I can't stand it anymore. I don't like myself. Jesus showed me, you need to forgive that man, and you need to ask that man to forgive you. Oh. So I didn't even understand these verses, but I was in the hand of the tormentors. God had allowed me to be in the hand of the tormentors because I wouldn't forgive like I'd been forgiven. So the devil had a legal right to torment Gary until he repented. And I did, and I asked that man to forgive me, and that anger went away. And I was able to begin to walk in peace again. Do you get the thing? So sin opens the door for the devil to have a legal right to torment you. Examples of torment, physical torment, is arthritis. mental torment is the spirit of fear, and there's probably no one that hasn't been attacked by the spirit of fear at some point. Spiritual torment, fear you have committed the unpardonable sin, which is, if you've worried about that, then you definitely haven't done it, put it that way. But let's get on. Compel. Demons try to get you to be compulsive. Some examples, smoking, eating, alcohol, even talking. Satan tries to get you to abuse things and be compulsive, which makes to the next point he does. He tries to enslave you. He tries to, once you give in to him, to bring intense desires to do things, literally to drive you to do them, even though you may hate them. That's the devil. And if you put compel and enslave together, what do you have? Addictions. If the devil can get you compulsive in an area of your life and then enslave you, and he does that to Christians, believe me, he does that to Christians, then you need deliverance. But here's a good point, and Derek Prince brings us out. Addictions grow on frustrations. Are you a frustrated person? Are you able to walk in peace? And too many times, frustrations lead you to run to stuff instead of Jesus. In fact, whatever you run to bring comfort becomes your God. Do you get the picture here? Okay. And then defile. Demons make you feel dirty or unclean. They put those wicked suggestions in your mind, and they make you think that that's yours, and you think, I can't be a Christian. I wouldn't be thinking that way. No. That's the devil. Those are the demons. And then deception. We went through 4 years of an administration that was operating lies and deception, and the devil was having his way. So hopefully you know exactly what deception is. Do you know what opens the door for deception? Pride. And then the final point, and I wish we could go in more details, and maybe we will do a second message, is demons weaken you. They make sick, and they try to kill you. Probably just one scripture for time's sake. John 10:10, Jesus says, the thief, that's the devil, cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. If things in life are trying to weaken you, make you sick, or kill you, that's not God, that's the devil. He tries to devour you. Remember 1 Peter 5:8? And Derek Prince makes this wonderful point. Demonized people are usually restless. They can't be at peace. You need to get the devil out of your life, whether it's resisting him in Jesus' name or it's casting him out. And if you have to cast him out, there's usually an unconfessed sin or an area of life you need to deal with and get with Jesus and get that on the blood of Jesus, repent, and ask the Holy Spirit to fill you and cast that sucker out. Do you get the picture here? So these are just some things to let you know here's what the devil tries to do with you. But again, you don't even belong to Jesus until you're born again. Are you saved? Do you know that you're going to heaven? Do you want to know? Pray with me right now. Dear God, I see it. I confess that I am a sinner. I believe, Lord Jesus, you died for me and rose again. I understand it's only your blood that washes away my sin. Lord Jesus, I'm coming to you right now. I repent of all my sins. I ask you to come into my heart and spirit and be my Savior and Lord of my life. I give myself to you completely, both now and forever. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the broadcast of Exceedingly Abundant Ministries in corporation with Bethel Worship Center of Joplin, Missouri. Bethel Worship Center is located at 3125 West 20th Street in Joplin. Weekly service times are Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and a Wednesday evening Bible study at 6:30 p.m. For more information, visit their website at betheljoplin.org or send an email to Pastor Gary. His email is garyculp@yahoo.com. Please join them again next week as they continue to expound on God's truth in a relevant and practical way.